The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so since we last met, we found out what we all knew was coming, and that's that the Broncos are going to part ways with brother from another's favorite quarterback, Russell Wilson. It was never a matter of if.
You say he's our favorite quarterback, but he's not the quarterback of brother from another, but he's our favorite quarterback. But he's not our quarterback. Maybe topic-wise. Maybe for fodder, Russ fodder.
Yeah, sure.
You ain't feeling it. I can tell you ain't feeling it, brother.
No, see, don't do that. Don't do that. See, don't do that. That's the problem. Right there.
What's wrong?
Look. What they call it? Insinuating? Why you insinuating? Like, you ain't feeling it, brother. Like, hold on, man. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's how shit get twisted, man. No.
Okay, go ahead. Okay? I'm not. All right. I stand corrected. You go.
All right. Anyway, it was never a matter of. Let me do my intro. Never a matter of if, but when and how. And they're going to release him at the start of the league year. But in the meantime, they have given Russell Wilson permission to speak to other teams. Given how much you are feeling, the brother. I get the sense that if you were another GM, you'd be falling over yourself trying to meet with Russell Wilson right now. That's the sense I get from you, Michael Holler, is that you'd be...
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yes, I would. And you know what? I'd play it coy. I'm just going to tell you, Denver Broncos, I'm not calling you. What is it, 303 out there in Denver? I'm not calling the 303. I'm not contacting you at all. I'm back channeling this thing. Because you've got yourself into a bit of a mess, cap-wise, with Russell Wilson. You decided you wanted to release him.
Well, they don't have the call now. But they don't even have the call. Huh? He's got permission. He's got permission to.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm thinking, though,
see, this is.
Okay, but here's the problem. Say, permission to speak with other teams. Why do I need your permission? I'm thinking, if you need permission, what are you looking for from us? Why do you want to talk to us? You know why you want to talk to us? You're looking for some kind of deal? You're looking for some kind of cap?
Somebody like, what? To bail you out?
Well, like, yeah, why do I need to talk to if Russell Wilson
maybe they're
is
doing
a free
him a solid. Maybe they're actually doing him a solid. He's not technically a free agent yet. Maybe they're doing him a solid. Maybe this is
That's
a gesture of goodwill. After they tried to screw him over with the removal of the injury guarantee, maybe they're saying, hey, in a couple of days, you're going to be a free agent anyway. Hey, why don't you just go ahead and get a head start?
You said the other day you wanted to, growing up, going to McDonough 35, shout out New Orleans, in high school, you wanted to be an NFL insider. That was a dream, and that dream became reality. So you know, you've been studying the NFL for a long time, from afar and on the inside. You know this is a business. Nobody's trying to do you a favor. Nobody's trying to do you a solid. This is dirty business. And so,
okay, but they can't realistically think that somebody's going at this point, now that everybody knows they're going to release him, now that everybody knows that they're going to have to eat $85 million, it's pointless to think, hey, here you go, Michael, wait for it. If you think that another team is going to trade anything for Russell Wilson's contract, you got another think coming.
Still so wrong. It's wrong. Anyway, they're trying to drum up a market. let there where two or three are gathered in my name. Okay. Right, they try to get a couple teams interested in Russell Wilson. And then if somebody's really interested, let's say he wants to go to the Patriots, who have ample cap space, what the Broncos don't have. And the Broncos look at it and say, hey, you know what? Why don't you take, instead of us eating all of us, why don't you just like give us like $6 million in relief? $6-7 million. We'll throw a draft pick your way. Just help it. Just help us out because we can't function this way in the next 2 years.
Kind of like the Brock. What was it? The Brock Osweiler, was it?
Yep.
Well, like you're trading the
Brock
contract.
Osweiler. Houston. Yep.
So,
Houston.
All right.
Cleveland.
So
gave
all
him
right.
a pick.
I think I'm following you. So you're saying that in exchange for Russ getting a head start on free agency, permission to speak to other teams, you're saying that the Broncos are hoping that Russ falls in love quickly with, say, a Patriots, and then the Patriots and Broncos work something out that allows the Patriots to avoid a potential bidding war with Russ on the open market as a free agent, and this way they basically funnel him to Foxborough. Am I following you?
And right, exactly. And the Broncos, to make this happen, the Broncos have to throw in a sweetener. Not that they have tons of assets, because
right.
Michael,
usually you're trading
as
forward,
I see your feed.
Now we're giving you a draft pick to take on the contract. Yeah.
Right. And I see your feed item. The reason they don't have assets is because they gave up lots of assets to get Russell Wilson in the first place. So they are struggling. Their cupboards are bare because they just went all in on Russ. I think if they were to do something like that, that would be mitigating it a bit. It's still a bad trade, horrible. They didn't get anything close to what they paid for. But that is a way to get out without just taking the brunt of all that money.
Okay. So maybe that's what the Broncos are thinking, and that's very astute on your part. It's also wishful thinking. Because to me, the most appealing thing about Russell Wilson right now,
okay,
if I'm another team,
is the cost.
The Broncos will be paying him to play for you. That
right.
You can get him for a little over $1 million. And however you receive or perceive what I have had to say about Russell Wilson, I'll take him for $1 million. Sure, why right. not? That's like low risk, high reward. This is the worst trade ever, and it's only going to get worse. Not just because of what the Broncos gave up to get him, not just because of what they didn't get from him over the last two seasons, but because they compounded it by giving him a contract that was completely unnecessary at the time. Like, he leveraged his Russell Wilson-ness into an extension that he wasn't due for and hadn't earned in a Broncos uniform. They just gave it to him because they were excited. Okay, so they gave him this extension. Now they have the largest dead cap hit in history coming their way over the next 2 years. And like I mentioned, they're going to have to pay him to play for someone else, which will also probably bite them in the ass in some way, shape, or form. The butterfly effect of this trade is fascinating. Okay, so not only is it the worst trade ever, sorry, Trey Lance, that title temporarily, you know, sorry, Mike Dick or Ricky Williams. I go back to Mike Dick trading the whole draft for Ricky Williams. That's how I go back. Who could forget the Herschel Walker trade? And hell, high key, the Deshaun Watson trade doesn't look great for Cleveland right now.
That's right.
But Russell Wilson right now has the crown, or the Broncos have the crown for worst trade ever. And it's only going to get worse once he does sign as a free agent with somebody else and you're paying him to play elsewhere. And here's another one. And I'm not going to say this is impossible. I wouldn't put my money, my personal money on it. But if I were a team, I'd certainly put $1 million. I'd make this million-plus-dollar bet. I'd make a million-plus-dollar bet that Russell Wilson will play better for his next team than he did in Denver, which will make that trade look that much worse. So you're paying him to play better than he played for you for somebody else. It's a bad trade that just keeps getting worse with the transaction.
And I guess, you know, if you just look at those numbers there, keep those numbers there on the screen, Russell Wilson and the record, you know, 30 games. And I know you're not a big fan of quarterback win-loss records. I am. So 11-19. But the stats don't really tell the story. It's one of those
no,
you had to
don't.
Be there to understand.
Correct.
You know, 42 touchdowns, 19 picks. You go, okay.
Right.
That's pretty good season. You know, 90.9 rating. Okay, not
lie.
Great.
Numbers can
but,
lie.
Yeah. The stats
and those
lie,
are the numbers that,
but,
and those are the numbers that Russell wants you to look at. Those are the numbers he wants you to focus on. Is that?
But I will
42,
say,
19.
I will say, in his defense, in the Broncos' defense here, previous regime, mm-hmm. their defense,
it wasn't set up. For
Russell
him.
Wilson, Russell Wilson has that contract because that was the whole point. Like most of these disputes, like we have a great time, you know, talking, you know, daily about. Hey, this guy's unhappy. This guy, he feels like it's not the right fit, or he just wants the chance to win. But ultimately, most of these disputes boil down to money. So Russell Wilson,
sure.
It wasn't that
right.
Russell couldn't cook in Seattle. It was Russell couldn't bank in Seattle the way he wanted to. So he wanted a new contract from the Seahawks.
And his leverage, yeah. Right, his leverage in the trade right. with the Broncos was, I'm coming here, but I need a new contract.
But you go give me a new deal.
And that's why they had to
give him a new deal if they wanted
they
Russell Wilson.
To.
And at the time,
yeah, I guess.
And dude, like, it's funny how things change so much. It was just when they made that trade, it made sense to us.
Everybody had Denver as the favorite in the AFC West. They were a quarterback away. Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. Oh, my God. We all got excited.
Remember the way we talked about the AFC West? Oh, look at the quarterbacks. They got Mahomes. Who has some competition now.
It was loaded. Oh, my God. It was loaded.
Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert.
Will the Chiefs win the AFC West?
You and know, Derek Carr, like two, he's still underrated.
That was two championships ago. I feel like that was two championships ago. Right?
It was.
Literally. 2 years and two championships ago, yes.
But
yes.
I do agree. I'm surprised that the Steelers, Pittsburgh, you ain't that rich. You ain't that
you
well
that?
Off. Well, you can. You
that?
Ain't that bougie. You ain't that bougie, Pittsburgh, where you can turn up your nose at Russell Wilson when you're messing around with Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett. You ain't that bougie. So, we ain't interested. Oh, no? What else you got in mind? I would say the Patriots should be interested.
Color me surprised.
Yeah.
Color me surprised.
I think the Patriots should be interested. I think the Falcons should be interested. I think the Minnesota Vikings should be interested in Russell Wilson. I think the Raiders should be interested in Russell Wilson. And if all these teams say, not our guy, he's not real, he's not, too much drama, too much high maintenance – somebody.
No, it ain't that. It's not that. See, that, okay. That,
think,
oh, I'm sorry.
You
finish your thought. Finish your thought. I'm sorry. Finish
your
thought. Finish
your
thought.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Because
no,
if you're trying to tell me.
Thought. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Finish your thought. Finish your
if
thought.
If not those things. Okay, I'll say that. If not those things. For the reasons you said. I think he'd be my starter. Because the cost is just, it's a cap league.
No, it's a great, it's a great bet. It's a great bet.
It's just worst irresistible.
Case scenario, he's your backup. Why not? Why not find out what he got left, if anything?
And quiet as it's kept, you know, just as an aside, I'm in a league where I might have to draft a brother as a sixth or seventh rounder in our
what
little
league
we got going here.
What league would that be? I've seen zero activity from you. What league are you talking about? Oh, I'm going.
I'm just out here.
Okay.
I'm just out here trusting God.
You're just out
God.
Here trusting God. I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well
but
done.
I would
well
say
done.
My final point on it is, my final point before I toss it back to you is, if all these teams don't want him as a starter, I think teams should be falling over themselves to have him as a good backup. If he's in the mental space to do it, he may not be. I'm not ready. He may not be ready to accept that yet.
Yeah. I tend to doubt
okay.
that.
But short of any other good option, hey, if I'm a great team, and I got my quarterback situation, but I know through attrition, just the normal attrition of the NFL, I know I'm going to need more than one quarterback. I'm going to sit back and watch. I'll sit back and watch, and if Russell doesn't find the team that he's looking for, I'd have to make that call. Because this is a gift for other teams,
so,
and it's a burden for the Broncos.
So I'm not saying he sucks. I don't think I've ever said he sucks. I've never said that. Those words have never come out of my mouth.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say that about most people. I don't know that I have over the course of several decades said that about anybody. That's just disrespectful. If I have, I apologize retroactively. so I don't think I've ever been that harsh to anybody. But okay. I certainly wouldn't say that about Russell Wilson. That's extreme. I have said that he's not as good as his reputation or his name value would suggest. He has nuanced limitations that escape people who just look at basic counting stats and say, oh, yeah, 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. He must have been good. It's like, you know, it's not that simple. It's not that simple with Russell Wilson. I think, so what you said a second ago, what I was responding to was, you were like, oh, you know, if you think he's too much drama or he's high maintenance. See, that conversation gets conflated with what he is or isn't as a football player. And Russ okay. defenders, anytime somebody says that Russ is not as good as some people would like to think he is, especially at this point in his career, people, I think, this is just, I'm just speculating here. I haven't polled all these people, but it feels like people think that that is some sort of criticism is rooted in a dislike of Russell Wilson, or that it's about his character, or whether or not let's just call it what the conversation often devolves into, whether he's corny or his blackness. Ain't got shit to do with that for me. Ain't got nothing to do. I'm not talking about Russell Wilson the person. I respect Russell Wilson the person. As I said the other day, he's won the game of life, and he's still winning. We can joke all we want. Y'all could crack jokes all you want about Russell Wilson. Yes. Russell Wilson is laughing all the way to the bank with this. Ha, 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 ha. Like, he is laughing to the bank. So, like they know jokes about Russell Wilson. And then Sierra laughing to the bank, okay? So, no, like, this is not a personal thing. So that's why I just wanted to, I wanted to interject with he's too much drama, high maintenance. No, I think he wanted his run of the operation because he thought he was on that level when he first got to Denver. Sean Payton came in and said, it's a new sheriff in town. His name is Reggie Hammond. Now, in fairness, again, to Russell Wilson, in fairness, like, nobody could have imagined it being that much of a disaster. Nathaniel Hackett was not cut out to be a head coach. Hell, he might not be a great play caller. He may just be a guy that needs to be Aaron Rodgers. Right. You know what I mean? So he was not, the last 2 years, Russell Wilson has not been put in position to succeed, either because he had a novice head coach / play caller, absent Aaron Rodgers, the cocoon of Aaron Rodgers, or because he was Sean Payton trying to a square peg that Sean Payton was trying to fit into a round hole. So the last 2 years, is Russ as good as his heyday, the let Russ cook days in Seattle? Was he ever that good? No.
Yes.
Is he as bad as he was at times the last 2 years? No. I think he's somewhere in between. I don't know that he's not as good as he once was. He's not as bad as he looked, especially last year. He looked a lot better this year, obviously. I think he's somewhere in between. So all I try to do is kind of temper the enthusiasm about him. Like, so if I'm an organization, you just rattled off all these teams that should be lining up to sign Russell Wilson. Yeah. I would say why. And that's not a rhetorical question.
Because they don't have good quarterbacks.
The Patriots have the number three pick in the draft.
Draft a quarterback, draft one, and then sign.
Let me be consistent real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
I like the fact that I would only have to pay Russell Wilson $1 million. So that's intriguing to me. But I'm not looking at, but let me make sure I'm clear on what I'm saying here. And my counter to you when you were like, the Raiders should be interested and the Steelers and all this kind of stuff. It's like, I don't think he's the answer. I'm willing to throw $1 million at him and see, but I'm not stopping there. Like, if I'm the Patriots, I would prefer to draft a Jaden Daniels or a Drake May. Unproven though they may be, I'd rather start with a young guy than try to catch lightning in the bottle with Russell Wilson as my bridge quarterback, so to speak. If I'm the Falcons, we'll get to them in a second. There's been speculation that they may trade up to number three with the Patriots. There's another quarterback who we'll talk about in a minute that they may or may not be in pursuit of. The Raiders, same thing. Antonio Pierce said the other day, we don't want to keep band-aiding this situation. Pittsburgh, again, I'm not surprised that Pittsburgh reportedly isn't interested, because even though on paper it seems like, and he is an upgrade over what they currently have, or what we think they currently have, again, Russ is not like a, oh, we got to have this guy. Like, he's the answer. He's going to solve all our problems. I think there's a certain way you have to play around Russell Wilson and a certain system that he needs to thrive in. I don't know that he's just a guy that you can, this is what we saw. He is not a guy that you can just drop into a situation, just add water, and expect great results. Again, $1 million makes that gamble worth taking. So I think two things can be true. It could be very appealing from a cost standpoint, but I'm not falling over myself to get Russell Wilson and think our problems were solved. Yeah. The Broncos just found out the hard way it's not that simple with him.
Well, but see, this is what, and just let me give you the breakdown, though, especially with Pittsburgh and New England. So let's start with New England. Mm-hmm. With that third pick, I don't believe the Patriots should trade that third pick. I think they should use it. They should use it on a quarterback. That's what I believe. And so I went in thinking Patriots, the third pick, they take a quarterback, and then their veteran quarterback would be somebody like one of these free agents, Ryan Tannehill, Gardner Minshew, Jacoby Brissett, one of those guys. But what's crazy, Michael, is that Russell Wilson is cheaper than the three guys I just named. You can't get Gardner Minshew for $1 million. You can't get Jacoby Brissett for $1 million. So he's cheaper and he's better. He's better than those guys. So I agree with you. He's not as good as he was in the Russ Cook days, not as bad as he appeared to be last year. You put that all together, you probably got the number 15 or number 16 quarterback in the league. Middle of the pack. Middle of the pack. You can name 10 easier. 11 to 16. I might give you a homework assignment.
It's in my DNA.
11 to 16.
It's in my DNA.
I don't know.
It's like, it's a gift and a curse. It's a strength and a weakness. Like, I try so hard to be fair to people. I try so hard to be fair to people. So I'm trying to be fair to Russ. And I'm trying
if
to.
You don't think again, he's 16.
I think you get to 16 quicker than you think.
Go ahead and be harsh with your elegant language. Don't say
I think
suck.
You get to 16
say it better.
Quicker than you think.
Because if you think he's lower to 16, you think
I think you
suck.
Get to 16 quicker. No. Like, sucks is like you don't belong in the NFL. Suck. That's what sucks means to me.
Okay.
It's like, you know, like, you're, you know.
You think he's below average. So, okay. If you think he's a 17.
I think at best he's average. At best. At best, he's average. I think he gets to 16 much quicker than you realize.
Okay, nope.
I think he gets to 16 much quicker than you realize.
Then the other thing on Pittsburgh, I'll say this quickly on Pittsburgh. So New England should want him just for a year. Just for a year. Just have him in there. And then you bring your young guy. It takes the pressure off your young guy to play immediately. Now, if the young guy beats him out in training camp, you spend $1 million, you move on, you trade Russ to somewhere else because it's just not going to work for you. He's not going to be a backup. All right, so it's really a no-brainer. No-brainer for New England. It's a no-brainer for Pittsburgh. Why? Because this is an organization like the Packers, at times Philly, but no, I'd say more like Pittsburgh and Green Bay. They don't spend a lot of money in free agency. They are looking for the deal. Why wouldn't you, if you're Pittsburgh, why wouldn't you take the deal?
Definitely bargain's basement. Bargain basement.
I mean... That's their lane. I'm speaking. That's your love language, Pittsburgh. That's your love language right here.
But maybe,
how are you ignoring
it? Because maybe they see Russ the same way I and others in the league see Russ. Like, that's what I'm getting at. It's like, okay, was this Denver situation, did the Denver situation suck for him? Yes, it unequivocally did.
I'm going to write down some names now.
Unequivocally did. All right.
Keep going.
It was a bad fit. It was a bad fit for him. It was not all on him. Okay?
All right.
Would I gamble $1 million to make the Broncos trade look even worse by having him come to my place and maybe resurrect his career? Yeah, I'd probably take that gamble. But it's not a slam dunk is what I'm saying. Again, I hope I'm not. I hope it doesn't sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. That's not my intention.
No, you're not.
Okay, that's not my intention. I hope I'm not contradicting myself from one statement to the next. But what I'm saying is, it's like, it doesn't. That's why I say color me shocked. It doesn't surprise me that Pittsburgh is like, no, we're good, because maybe they don't think Russ is that good. I mean, you know, okay. Like even $4 million. Maybe they're like, you know what? We'd rather draft another guy, or rather, you know, give Kenny Pickett a full season of a real offensive coordinator, or improve other areas of our team. I don't know. You know, like
tell
maybe,
me
they don't, maybe they don't. But I'm not surprised. I just don't think he's this guarantee. You know.
I just wrote down some names here. 2, 4.
You want to make a list?
I got 11 names.
Oh, you want to make a list?
I just got 11 names right now. And just tell me, and I'm telling you, I'm missing some because this is not a definitive list. It's off the top of my head.
All right.
So I'm missing some obvious ones.
All right,
ones,
we'll do this. We got time. Go ahead.
I ain't missing five. Right. I don't think I'm missing five.
Ahead.
I'm missing one.
Go ahead. Who you got?
Mahomes.
Who you got? Go ahead.
Mahomes.
All right, of course.
Lamar.
Right. Okay.
Burrow. Allen. Yep. Stafford. Uh-huh. Oh, you'll love this one. You'll love this one. Brock Purdy.
Thank you.
Jalen Hurts. Justin Herbert. Dak. CJ. Brother from another's Jared Goff. I think that's 11. Who did I miss? You got five more? I don't think
All right. The guy that Atlanta seems to covet, Kirk Cousins. I'll take Kirk Cousins over Russell Wilson.
Oh, see, now, okay.
I would take Kirk Cousins over him. I already told you that I would, this is not somebody to add to the list. I already told you that I would bet on Justin Fields' potential. Like if I were a team, I would prioritize acquiring Justin Fields over Russell Wilson if I were a quarterback needy team. But I'm not adding him to this list. I'm not adding him to this list of guys who are right now and based on their body of work are superior. Okay. So just to be clear on that. Trevor Lawrence. It's better than Russell Wilson.
I forgot about Trevor. That's a good one. Trevor Lawrence. Absolutely. So I'll give you Trevor Lawrence, and I approve. Our staff has approved Kirk Cousins and Lawrence. We're up to 13.
After last year, right here, right now, give me Baker Mayfield.
okay.
Give me Jordan Love.
I see. All right. So that's what I'm saying. Now we're questioning.
Give me Tua.
Baker Mayfield.
Give me Tua.
Mayfield. All those guys. Tua, maybe.
Like right now.
Mayfield, no.
Right now. So there's your five if you needed five. There's your five. Cousins, Trevor, Baker, Love, Tua. There's your five. If you just need to, I probably could keep going if I really wanted to.
Sure. Baker, no. I'm gonna reject Baker. I'll approve Trevor. Kirk Cousins, you said right now, he hadn't thrown since the fall.
Oh, we ain't qualifying for injury. We're not qualifying for injury, are we?
All right.
No, we're not doing that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Kirk Cousins. Tua.
He has not been good since he got to Cleveland for one reason or another, but I take Deshaun Watson right now over Russell Wilson. As a player, I take Deshaun Watson.
Mm-mm. They were better without him.
One could argue Kyler Murray. I'm talking about guys you just want right now over Russell Wilson. I'll take Kyler Murray over him. Old ass Aaron Rodgers. Still got to count him. Forgot he's still playing. He ain't retired yet. Bro, we in the 20s now. My math is math, and we in the 20s right now.
Well, yeah, because you just throwing like, you just go ahead and say it.
Shit against the wall.
Say it. Don't say he sucks. But say he's below average. You don't think he's average. If you put in Baker Mayfield in front
best,
of him.
At best, and average. At best, I qualify. One could argue for several of these people. But like, if I'm looking for a quarterback right now, and I got my pick, it's gonna be a while before I get to Russ. It's gonna be a while before.
But
I get to
here's
Russ.
The problem. You don't. And
see,
and
that,
this is
see
why.
That ought to show you. That ought to show you that it's not personal with Russ. That ought to show you that I ain't a hater because I'm sitting up here being nice to dude. I'm being too nice. I'm probably going. I'm bending over backwards, being too nice, being too generous. Like that's the reality of the situation.
I'll give you 14 or no doubt, 14 names, no doubt, and then the rest of them are low. Like yeah, if you shade it that way, use that metric. You might have an argument, but I would say you said something important here. You said if I have my choice.
Tell me what that was. Yes, right.
You said
if
I have my choice of quarterbacks. Right. I'm not taking Russ. Or I'll look elsewhere. These teams that I mentioned don't have a choice. They're either
going
to go with an unknown.
They can draft one. Like you're, right.
Yeah,
there's an unknown. There's an unknown.
You got Russ. Throw them in the pool of available free agents. You got Tannehill. You got Brissett. You got Gardner Minshew. I mean, you got that's the caliber of quarterbacks in Russell Wilson.
There's at least four guys in the draft that, again, if I'm one of these quarterback needy teams, I'd be targeting them first. At least four guys in the draft.
You can do both.
You know,
I'm just saying you can do both.
Yeah, you could. No, it could be a bridge. I just think he's a shaky bridge, and I think he leaves a lot to be.
And I know you're not.
But
for Mike, I know you're not saying this.
I get it. For what I find out.
I know you're not saying it. I'm just asking. Do you think? And because it's a separate conversation, you think that just not that good. Just forget about all the other stuff, the extra stuff. Just Russell Wilson on the field. But Russell
no
Wilson
extra stuff.
Off the field.
By the way, there's no extra stuff.
I know you're not saying that.
No, I'm not. But I just want to reiterate. Like, what extra stuff are we really talking about? We don't like his less. We don't like him saying let's ride. We think he's calculated. We think he's calculated. Yeah. We don't think he's authentic. We don't think he's genuine.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Just that but kind of chatter.
He's not alone in that club. And how many teams went to his birthday party?
From.
It's like, all right. Like, he ain't a criminal.
The chatter. I'm going to blame some of his ex-teammates in Seattle.
Oh, for sure.
One of whom
absolutely.
You work
I work with.
With
every Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, every Thursday I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a hater? That might be the biggest Russ hater out there. All right. So, but all that being said.
Certainly got PTSD from that Super Bowl. I know that much.
Yeah, I mean.
From that Super Bowl.
Dude be melting down on the set anytime like Russ. Russ had that game. He threw an interception. He just flipped it out.
Yeah, no.
He started flipping out.
Yeah.
But do you think that is that a deal breaker? If you're one of these teams, like if I've already mentioned, hey, I want to take one of these young quarterbacks. I want Drake May and Russell Wilson. I want Jaden Daniels and Russell Wilson. If you're one of these teams, would it give you pause? All the chatter, all the whispers, the gossip about Russell, would that give you pause about putting him in the, for lack of a better example, the Alex Smith position, where Alex Smith is the statesman who's just sitting there saying, hey, I know this guy's next. I got one more year in this spot. And I'm going to give up. I'm going to go to my seat give it to the assistant. The assistant pastor go take over, okay?
Well, listen.
He's going to become the pastor.
I mean, listen, Russ is a man of faith. He's a man of God. And he has often said, most recently, tough times don't last. Tough people do. God's got me. Looking forward to what's next. So if he's going to be consistent in that walk, that shouldn't be Russ's concern next year. Russ's concern, and I think that's why people were taken aback, myself included, quite honestly, about the idea of I want to win two Super Bowls in the next 5 years. Like, bro, you need to see to get land on your feet somewhere and put one foot in front of the other. Land on your feet and then put one foot in front of the other before you start talking about precisely two Super Bowls in 5 years. Not that we can't have goals, but a goal without a plan is a wish. And so I don't think Russ should be his concern, nor based on the person he presents, I don't think it will be his concern what's in store for him beyond next year. I think wherever he goes, he's going to want to play good. He just needs to worry about playing good football. But one name that came to mind for me, though, was Geno Smith. I don't have the quotes in front of me, but I believe Geno Smith had nothing but good things to say about Russell Wilson as a teammate in that quarter. What? No, I mean, he was complimentary of Russ.
No, I was going to say, no, he's better.
Oh.
Geno Smith's better than Russ.
The guy who
we forgot him. He's better.
What I tell you?
I got to say.
You're coming over to my side of the screen. Little by little, you're coming over to my side of the screen. But no, he was, if I recall, he was complimentary of the Russ, the teammate. The real thing is going to be, can he go into a quarterback room and either be a mentor to a young guy that's supposed to be a successor, or, like you asked earlier, could he be a backup? I don't know, because I think it takes a special guy to navigate the politics of a quarterback room when you're not the guy, when you don't have the big contract.
That's right.
You know, when I was watching Moneyball the other day, and when Brad Pitt's Billy Beane went in and talked to my man Stephen Bishop's David Justice, and he was like, you're not paying me $8 million to bunt. He was like, I'm not paying you $8 million. the Yankees are paying you $8 million. That's what they think of you. You know what I'm saying? So the Broncos are paying you $39 million to not play for them. You know, so if he goes to another team, I don't think he can walk in there and come in on his high horse like he's going to be a savior, like he's going to be the face of the franchise. He's got to come in there just looking for a shot at redemption. And I think
absolutely.
If he humbles himself, I think he has a shot to do that. I think he has a shot to maybe do that. But I don't know how instant those results are going to be or how gratifying those results are going to be because of my reservations.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
About Russ, the player. We referenced this a couple of times. Atlanta. So look, apparently Atlanta got eyes for Kirk Cousins. Although this story, honestly, it reeks. I'm not saying it's not real, but it reeks of trying to drum up leverage in negotiations with the Vikings. Like, the Vikings have been good to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, for the most part, has been good for the Vikings. I realize his wife's parents live nearby, but he has lived in Minnesota for a long time. My read in this situation is, even though there are some dots to connect in Atlanta, whether it's the coaching staff or his wife's family nearby, which matters, you and I both know that type of thing does matter. This feels like a narrative and a storyline being drummed up in order to leverage the Vikings into giving them the contract that he wants. Because Kirk Cousins is nothing if not a shrewd businessman.
Yeah, hey, look, Mike, Kirk Cousins, whoever his agent is, I don't know if he represents himself or he has an agent.
No, he got an agent.
Brilliant job. Kirk Cousins, if you just look at what he is, and I think he is just a really, solid NFL quarterback. Nobody has ever called him great. Nobody has ever said, we're going to build our offense around Kirk Cousins, outside of Kyle Shanahan wanted to do it. But if you look at the money, Kirk Cousins, the real money, this is the guarantee guy. He should have an oil painting of Kirk Cousins should be in the NFLPA.
Didn't he do it before Deshaun? He did it before Deshaun. Didn't he have like a 3-year fully guaranteed deal with Minnesota? Yeah.
He keeps stacking. Kirk Cousins is about to stack. So I understand
Kirk Cousins drumming up. It's just good enough. Okay, conversely, Kirk Cousins is just good enough to make you keep falling in love with him. And there's an infatuation, there's a lust around Kirk Cousins because all these guys from the McVay Shanahan tree be like, dude, that guy can run our offense. And that tree now extends into Atlanta. And so they're like, yo, this dude knows how to run this system. He may not be great in prime time. He may not take us to the promised land, but damn it, he gonna win some games, he gonna put up some numbers. And he's going to be and his teammates are going to like him. He's going to be great in the building. He's just like, all the way back to Washington. People fucks with Kirk Cousins. these coaches are infatuated with Kirk Cousins.
It's amazing.
Even if it costs you Patrick Mahomes. Like Kirk Cousins is the, you talk about an oil painting in the NFLPA office. Kirk Cousins is that embodiment of that meme where the dude walking down the street with his girlfriend and he turn around and he looking at the girl walking by. That Kirk Cousins is a girl walking by, and every other quarterback is the girlfriend, whether it's Patrick Mahomes or anybody else. Like, everybody's like, but what if I had Kirk Cousins? I mean, he's a good quarterback. I like him. I do. I would take him. I mean, at 35, he's not the long-term answer. You know,
he's likable.
Yeah, he's just, but he's intriguing. He's like, oh, Kirk Cousins.
You said teams. Because
I can look on film and see him. To say nothing of the fact that all of these coaches and their disciples trace back to that Washington coaching staff. They all trace back, their roots are in that Washington coaching staff. They all came up watching film of Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is in their head, because when they're breaking down their film and they're going through their system and their install, you know what they're watching film of? Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins making the right read and the right throw in this Shanahan, McVay, McDaniel system. That's what it is.
They don't fall in love with him, Mike.
He is the patron saint of this system, is who he is.
They enjoy his company. They enjoy his company, but they're not in love. They just enjoy his company. Hey, who are you gonna go to the dance with? Oh, Kirk. I'm going with Kirk. Girl, why don't you marry him? No, that's fine.
He's safe.
He's good.
Make it, look, hey, Mike, make you feel dangerous, but also safe.
So if this story is about drumming up interest, well, successful, because that's what he does. He drums up interest better than anybody in the league. And
what if it's real, though?
There
what
will
if it's
be.
Real?
Whoever signs
what if it's real?
It's going
to
be
what
a
if
big
Atlanta, what if he really about to go to Atlanta? Like, we already talked about it. Whoever goes to Atlanta, whether it's Fields, whether it's Russ, whether it's Jaden Daniels, you know, whether it's J.J. McCarthy or Kirk Cousins, whoever goes to Atlanta is like walking on sunshine.
I know. Calm down.
Hold on.
Calm down.
Hold on. Settle down. You're not a McCarthy guy? You're not a McCarthy? I thought you loved all McCarthys. I thought you loved all McCarthys. You're not a McCarthy guy?
No.
You don't buy into the idea that he's toolsy. They just ran the ball a lot, as Ohio State well knows, that he's got more than he showed in college.
This is not a shot. This is facts. I wouldn't put it past the University of Michigan to miss a top 10 quarterback prospect that they have right in front of them.
Well played. Well played. Well, that's not a
shot. Since they happen to have the greatest quarterback of
all
time, and they wanted to split time with Drew Henson. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't put it past him. However, I'm skeptical.
Wouldn't put it past him to hold somebody back. That's funny.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I'm skeptical, though.
That was funny.
I'm skeptical. I don't know about that.
Well, you know how this process works. People are gonna fall. They're gonna force themselves to fall in love with J.J. McCarthy and his potential and his tools. I mean, I like the kid. I mean, from what I watched, I can see the potential, even if the production wasn't what we've come to expect from collegiate quarterbacks nowadays. But like his metrics look pretty good, you know. So
okay.
He's got the physical tools. One other NFL story I want to hit with you real quick. Not as bad as, hey, remove your injury guarantee or we're going to bench you. But apparently you got a problem with how the Cowboys, you ever seen Four Brothers?
Yeah.
Remember Victor Sweet and Four Brothers? I like the way you do business. Apparently you do not like the way the Cowboys are doing business with one Micah Parsons.
Yeah, and I just want to point out that this is a common conversation in the NFL. As a matter of fact, the NFL hires former general managers, hires former coaches to look at film to determine whether somebody, when it's a judgment call, hey, is this guy, based on what you see, is this guy a defensive end or is this guy a linebacker? Based on what you see, is this when tight ends make the argument, I'm really a wide receiver more than I'm a tight end, I should be paid, you know, because the tight end number is much lower, franchise number is much lower than the wide receiver number. So there are really people watching film right now trying to determine how much, where a guy should be slotted. But that being said, Micah Parsons was drafted as a linebacker. As a rookie, he was compared to Lawrence Taylor, who was a linebacker. He has the ability to rush the passer at an elite level. He has the ability to play the position as a linebacker, drop into coverage, whatever you need him to do. And the Cowboys are designating him as a defensive end to save $2.7 million. Shame on you. Shame on you. Even if you think that he's more like an edge who is masquerading as a linebacker, that's your family. That's your guy. Go ahead. It's $2.7 million. Shame on you with your cheap ass. Okay? This is all about saving a few bucks for Jerry Jones. And by the way, people think the Cowboys and Jerry, but let me just say one more thing. I'm going to get this out. People think the Cowboys and Jerry Jones will do anything it takes to win a championship because Jerry wants to win. Do you know the Cowboys are at the bottom of the league in cash spending, and they have been for about 10 years? They're cheap.
Are they really?
They're cheap.
Are they really?
Yes. So shame on them. That's a linebacker.
They're at the bottom of the league in cash spending?
Cash spending. You know who else is down there in cash spending? The Patriots.
No, I know that.
Like the Cowboys are like 31st or 32nd in cash. I'm not talking about the cap. I'm talking about actual cash spending. Now, you can play games with that and say, hey, we had a quarterback. You know, for part of those 10 years, we had some rookies in there who were overperforming, outperforming their contracts. And this is before the big contracts came in, whatever. I'm just telling you, in cash spending, they're at the bottom of the league. Look it up. But in the case of Micah Parsons, they know better.
So I think this is much ado about nothing, to be honest with you.
What?
Does it matter to you that he played 88% of his snaps at defensive end last season? Does that matter to you?
Nope.
Okay. I mean, because it's like if you say his designation is a linebacker and that designation carries an extra $2.7 million, then I can say, yeah, but he played 88% of the time at defensive end. And what makes him special is not when he runs backwards, it's when he's running toward the quarterback. But okay, you said a second ago about Russ. Ain't nobody doing favors out here. This is business.
Right.
So when they sit down at the table, this is really why I say as much ado about nothing. Okay, because maybe they could have done right by their guy and given him an extra $2.7 million on a fifth-year option that chances are he'll never see. Now, this fifth-year option may serve as the baseline in negotiations with his agent, David Mulligetta. But at the end of this process, Micah Parsons is going to get paid. And this development will be a footnote in the story of him being the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. Sooner
Look at
or
that.
Later,
D-E.
They're going to have to D-E. Break him off something real proper-like. And there's no way around that. They're not going to be able to play funny with his money. They're just not going to be able to do it. So maybe it's for their cap this year, that $2.7 million, if they carry him on that fifth-year option, maybe it helps with cap management this year. But trust me, you're going to get that $2.7 million and more. The other reason I don't think it's a big deal is, I did not realize that the Cowboys were at the bottom of the league in cash spending. I'll accept your representation on that. But just anecdotally, I don't recall Jerry Jones not only paying the people who needed to get paid, but in many cases, overpaying people who needed to get paid. Like, I don't remember Jerry Jones sparing an expense on stars. I mean, no, he's paying older guys. He's paying, one that comes to mind, he had a great season last year. He probably should have given that contract to Ezekiel Elliott, but he loved him so much. Like, I think we know better than to give big money to most running backs nowadays, but he loved Ezekiel Elliott enough to give him a contract that by the end of it, he was splitting time with Tony Pollard, okay?
But so, they let him walk.
I wouldn't
let Pollard walk.
And he had a great year. And he had a great year in New England last year. Well,
Tyron Smith about to walk.
And he's paid Tyron. And Tyron Smith has been paid. Now, it might not have done the best contract for him. What was it, a 10-year deal or whatever he did? But I don't recall anecdotally. Again, anecdotally, I don't recall Jerry Jones not paying his guys. Not paying the stars that play for the star. But I do agree with you. Reminds me of The Departed. Do you want to be a cop or do you want to appear to be a cop? It's an honest question. Most people just want to, does Jerry Jones really want to win a Super Bowl? Does he really want to go all in or does he want to appear to go all in? because the latter is good for the brand, as well as, to your point, the bottom line.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. I'm going to say this. And this is an opportunity to say, you know, rest in power to someone we both knew and spent some time with, Tim Wakefield. So Tim Wakefield, he died from cancer, and so did his wife like 5 months later. Really sad story. But Tim Wakefield,
tragic, yeah.
former pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, used to say this because he was a starter. He'd throw a knuckleball. He could, if the starters were really in a bad stretch, if the bullpen was worn out, you could throw Wake in there on 3 days rest because he threw that knuckle and he'd bounce back fast. If your bullpen needed help, you could put Wake in the bullpen as a long guy. Now, if you really were desperate, you could make Wake your closer, although a knuckleballer as a closer is a little sketchy there.
Yeah,
but I remember when they were bouncing him around, he mm-hmm. said something to the effect of, they're using my versatility against me. And so, yes, 88% of the time at defensive end. Why? Because he can. And so it's good for the team during the season. Yeah. Hey, Micah, can you play corner? I sure can. Can you play linebacker? Yeah. I sure can. Hey, we need you at defensive end. We need you. Yeah. Family on three. One, two, three. Family. All this stuff, right? But then when it's time to get paid, well, you know, according to my analytics, you were a defensive end 88% of the time. Take your analytics somewhere. And the same thing happens across many industries. Hey, I'm sure it's happened to you. Michael Smith, you could be an analyst. Michael Smith, you could be an insider. Michael Smith, you could be a host, play-by-play, whatever it is. But when it's time to get you paid, they'll go with the lowest.
We don't know what you are.
Come on, man.
And it's happening quite a bit with all pro designations, which affect contract negotiations. Mike, well said. I don't disagree with you. I think at the end of the day, he's going to win.
I hope so. Maybe
Jerry Jones isn't the free spender that he, you know, his reputation might suggest. Okay. And maybe I got my head on my ass until I realize that. Okay, fine. But I don't think he's stupid. And, you know, I think when you have a player like Micah Parsons, either you're going to pay him or he's going to sit, you know, and he's not going to play. I'd just be shocked if he might. I'd be shocked if he showed up and played on his fifth year option. That was surprising.
Yeah.
I think this deal gets done and this is water under the bridge. It would have been the right thing to do. It would have been a nice gesture. It absolutely would have been a nice gesture to say, hey, you know what? We're gonna give you the linebacker designation just because. It don't matter.
Because you're
a football player. And we're just gonna give
you.
This is a placeholder anyway. So that 2.7 don't matter. That would have been probably the right thing to do. I don't know what their rationale was. I could see why this would turn people off. But at the end of the day, my man gonna get his money. That's why I'm not really worried about it. So I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm also not worried about it.
Not worried about it. That's fair.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
But I hope he does. Yeah.
No, but you're right. And listen, that hit home. That hit home. All right. Mm. Let's hit this break right quick. And we'll pick it up with some hoops.
Hoops?
Talk about D-Wade.
Oh, D-Wade still playing?
Bro, D-Wade came out of retirement. Gave
D-Wade
it to the Celtics.
Was balling last night.
I turned on my phone this morning like D-Wade.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Went for 20 against the Celtics. I'm like, damn, what is it, 2008?
Do you see yourself taking part in a dunk contest in the future?
I got to do my part and make the All-Star game. If I'm in the All-Star game, I'll do the dunk contest. But if I'm not, not doing it.
Well, I guess that means we got to do our part to get Zion Williamson in next year's All-Star game. Because we need him in a dunk contest.
All you got to do is play. All you got to do is stay healthy. He'll be there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought that was a shot. Okay.
No, I'm not taking a shot.
Oh, okay. I thought that was a shot. All right. Hey. No,
it's not coming yet. Shots are coming soon, but not yet.
So if he's there, which he should be, like you said, he absolutely should be if he's on the court, if he's healthy enough, he should be. All the reason I want to bring this up is because you said when we did the postmortem on the All-Star weekend, that the dunk contest is done. Just get rid of the dunk contest. Like, it's over. Yeah. Like, it's run its course. It's no longer a novelty. It's not impressive for anybody to dunk. Except for Zion Williamson. And in fact, because Zion Williamson is the perfect combination of star player and incredible dunker athlete. Like, Most of the star players aren't great dunkers that you ain't trying to see them in a dunk contest. Like, and he's still young enough, still spry enough, right? Most of the great dunkers, hell, maybe they come from the G League or somewhere else, right? So it's like, well, this guy is a marquee name, which is exactly what the dunk contest needs, who could actually deliver. To say nothing of the fact that here's the other guy, his draft mate. I mean, this would be a showdown. Thank you. He already kind of teased this a little bit. If the dunk contest was Ja versus Zion, that's all we need. We don't need nothing else. We don't need no other contestants.
No, we need more, though.
We need other participants. I mean, you can bring Mac back. You can bring Mac back to defend his title. All right.
You need a lot of people.
No, you don't. I don't want too many people in the club. I don't want too many people in the VIP.
No, you need everybody in the club.
Then, like VIP too crowded. Like, why say VIP no more? Like, it's just not a part of the club. We're just more bottles. Like, no, I don't. I ain't been in the club in years. I rarely was in VIP.
Who else you want in a dunk contest?
Why? That's
enough. I want several big names.
Wasn't your solution? Was that it needed to be quicker? Oh, no, you're talking about the All-Star game.
The All-Star game
needed to be shorter. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, and I'm being sarcastic, too. With the feed item, saying, you know, we need heroes and Bane. You get that? Bane, you know, villain. Heroes and villains. You need God among us. You need Emmanuel himself to save the dunk contest. Man, it ain't no saving it. Forget it.
If Zion does it, I'm tuning in.
No, you won't.
Yeah, I will. Absolutely, I will. Because first of all, ain't shit else going on on Saturday night. That's number one. You know what? I don't know about you, but I ain't in the club. I just referenced. So of course I'm watching it because Zion. I recognize that guy as opposed to walking out. It's like who? I'm tuning in to see Zion.
What are you looking for?
Do you see Zion dunk in games? You just talked about how people dunk and they rarely bring you out of your proverbial seat. They rarely impress you with a dunk in a game. And Zion definitely does. Absolutely. Zion does some shit in games. I'm like, damn, you're not supposed to be able to do that at his size. Like, remember when Dwight got in the dunk contest? It was great. When Blake did the dunk contest, it was great. That's the easy solution. The All-Star game might not have an easy solve, but there's an easy solution to the dunk contest. And that star players, people with name value, choosing to partake in the event. Ja and Zion, it won't realistically get any bigger than those two names. People would absolutely watch that and enjoy it. And they put on a show.
I think the dunk contest is a distressed asset that maybe cannot be brought back. But you do bring up a point about star players being involved and maybe being engaged. Maybe that's the answer to the dunk contest and the All-Star game. Star player engagement. Don't change it. It's just engagement. Do you give a damn? Do you give a couple of F's about what you're doing? If you do, we'll probably have a good product. But, if you don't, we'll be having the same conversation last year.
So, and not to be broken record on this conversation.
Same conversation next year that we had last year.
Right. But we're past the All-Star game. But I don't think it's that they don't care, because they care enough to shoot threes. They care enough to go out. They don't care about playing defense. It's one specific aspect of the basketball experience, excuse me, that they don't.
Let your player say that to you. Hey, coach.
No.
I care. I just don't care about playing defense.
No. But I don't think – I mean, they're there at the All-Star game. They're participating in all the ancillary events. You know, they're out there having fun, but they're not taking it seriously. You can care about something but not take it too seriously. We want them to take it seriously in the form of playing defense. They're not going to do that. They're just not going to do that. I don't even think the money would help.
The experience. Yeah, no, you're right. Money wouldn't help. It's just a matter of it's here. It's here. It's here. You got to – are you into this or not? And if you're into it, I think we'll get an entertaining, competitive product. Whether it's Saturday, All-Star Saturday night, or All-Star Sunday. But if you're not going to be into it, no matter what, I don't care how we incentivize you or what we say and how we format the thing. If you're not into it, it's just not going to be good. But I hope you get what you're looking for, Ja and Zion and the dunk contest.
I would sign up for that. So the Celtics looked like a slam dunk to win the NBA title, or at least the Eastern Conference. Although, shout out to Milwaukee. Shout out to Doc in Milwaukee. Like, they're getting their shit together. But the Celtics, like, were running roughshod over people. Had 111 straight, up by 22 against
in the fourth quarter.
The team of your youth.
In the fourth quarter.
Right. Against the team of your youth, the Cleveland Cavaliers, your youth, the Utes. The Cleveland Cavaliers. Did you say Utes? And even... without Donovan Mitchell and Mobley, right? And you're missing Evan Mobley.
Yeah, Mobley goes out
in
the third quarter.
Mobley. Yeah. They still managed to come back behind D-Wade. Dean Wade, that is. 20 in the fourth quarter. And it came down to, all right, sidebar. I'll get to the sidebar first. Because if anytime there's bad officiating, we write about it, we rail about it, we complain about it.
Yes.
We talk about what a crisis it is. That was the right call at the end of that game.
Yes,
Jason
it was.
Tatum extended his leg, initiating the content. After review, no foul. Excellent officiating. So I wonder, was this just a hiccup in March? Because the question with the Celtics, nobody questions their talent. Nobody questions the balance of their starting five. Greatest offensive team, statistically speaking, in history. One of the most dominant teams in terms of point differential that we've ever seen. This recent win streak, I mean, they were just blowing people out left and right. They got three wins by 50 points. We know they're good. We know they're talented. Are they smart enough and poised enough to not choke in the playoffs? Be it the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's the question.
Be it the NBA Finals. Because they've been there. They've been right there.
That's
it's not like they're a first round and out team. And so... what does last night have to do with that? Does last night give you a
last
hit?
Night?
Or was it just one of those nights where Dean Wade caught fire? Because, I mean, some of them shots were just, like, out of this world. And that's
you
a good team. By the way, that's not the Cavaliers are third in the East, a distant third from the Celtics. Everybody's distant from the Celtics, but they're a good
team.
Good. This is on the road.
Really good.
It was Kelsey night. It was all
Kelsey's
sorts of,
there.
I mean, so... Is this shit happens, or do the Celtics still have too much shit to them?
Kelsey night, Cleveland Heights night, everything going on. Okay, look, you asked me a few weeks ago about the Celtics. What's their weakness? And I told you one. I think I told you the wrong one. I led you wrong. And
I think you said it was their depth or lack thereof.
Yeah, exactly. A few weeks ago I said depth. You know, they need a guy. They need a couple of guys to prove themselves in the playoffs because right now coming off the bench, they have either on a normal night, they got Al Horford, who is proven, but they also have Sam Hauser, unproven, Peyton Pritchard, unproven, Luke Kornet, okay, those guys. But that's not the problem. The problem is what you just said. It is these frustrating bouts. feel like I'm talking to my kids sometimes. These frustrating bouts where everything is going well and you do something so inexplicable, so unnecessary, it makes me wonder if I can trust you when the moment comes. So the Celtics running away with the game and the Eastern Conference, but in the game, 22-point lead in the fourth quarter. Jason Tatum starts shooting his way and his team out of the game. 1-for-9 in the fourth quarter. Jaylen Brown does not score, does not take a shot in the fourth quarter. Plays 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. We showed Joe Mazzulla there, the head coach, second-year head coach. Now, last year, talk about disrespectful. Last year, his nickname, this is just wrong, but last year, his nickname was Second Row Joe. It was Second Row Joe because he was.
Why would you even
he
repeat
came
that?
From like.
Well, I get the joke. I get it. You should explain it. You can't explain the joke. Don't explain the joke. I get it. Why are you laughing at it? You said it's wrong and you out here celebrating it.
It's
that's
funny,
fucked up.
It's
like,
funny.
Why are you sitting up
it's
here funny. Like, oh, this is so wrong? Like, you can't, you know. This is disrespectful.
I may have used it.
Did you give him this nickname?
I may have used it.
I'm about to say, last year his nickname was, as in you gave him that nickname?
I didn't give it to him, but it was out there. It was out there, and I may have, kept
that's
it going.
Disrespectful.
I may have
second
kept it in the atmosphere.
Second
row Joe, but listen, this
do.
Year.
That's such a Boston media thing to do.
It is.
That's what they be talking about with y'all. Y'all do that kind of stuff.
It is. It is.
Second
it ain't
row
a media
Joe.
Thing. It was a fan thing. It was a fan. Took it from the fan. Oh, I got okay. it from the fans. Anyway.
All right. Okay.
But Joe Mazzulla has, you know, this year, you look at their start. But last night, Michael, not in addition to all the things I said about the 22-point blown lead and Jason Tatum, it's 16 seconds left in the game. Joe Mazzulla's got this thing. I don't know what it is. Somebody needs to tell him he's allowed to use them. He had two timeouts. 16 seconds left. It's almost like he thinks the timeouts are in escrow and you can't touch him for 3 months. You can touch him. Do this. Do this. Call a timeout. Doesn't call a timeout. Watches Tatum kind of dribble into that bad shot that you talked about where he's like, oh, at the end, I'm just going to put this little punctuation on. I'm going to kick my leg up. Hope I get a call. He got a call. Fortunately, it was overturned. But these are the types of things that kind of wear down the Celtics. These things kind of nip at the Celtics and they hover over them. And until they answer these questions, the questions about them right now are fair. They haven't answered the questions sufficiently. Can you come through in the clutch? This year in the clutch? Their record is 11-9. So down the stretch, 5 points, game within 5 points, 5 minutes to go, they're 11-9. A little different than that Sterling running away with the
48
NBA.
48-13, yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Okay.
Jason Tatum on a shot to win the game?
Yeah.
0-for-7. 0-for-7 this year.
Okay.
For
well,
a chance
stats.
To win it?
Came with stats.
Oh yeah,
wow.
got some numbers.
I am impressed. Yes. So let me ask you this. Okay, you have trust issues when it comes to Boston for all the reasons you just laid out.
Yep.
Will this matter before the NBA Finals? Because I wonder. When you look at the Eastern Conference, the only team as presently constituted, for the most part. You know, a few new faces.
Yep.
That can say, been there, done that, got the T-shirt.
Word.
Is Miami. Is Heat culture. That's the only team
over the Celtics, you mean?
In the Eastern Conference. I'm saying well, if you don't trust the Celtics, well, no, they won a championship in Mike Budenholzer and Drew Holiday and Giannis Antetokounmpo, but... Like,
I'm saying
the Eastern
Miami,
Conference, if you don't trust
Miami's
the Celtics.
Miami's got a different group?
No, that's what I said, for the most part. I said for the most part. But I'm talking about, like, okay. The core in Miami or just Heat culture. No matter what the Heat's record is, you know they're going to find a way to ruin somebody's playoff party. You know they're going to find, like, you're going to look up like, damn, man, Miami again? It's just, yeah. That's just the way they are, okay? But I'm saying otherwise in the Eastern Conference, if you don't trust the Celtics, who do you trust? It's not like the Sixers, and specifically Joel Embiid when he's healthy, have a track record of coming through in the playoffs. Milwaukee, yes, the Bucks won a championship recently behind Giannis. They look great again. Their defense seems to have, you know, they seem to have starting to figure it out on defense. They just beat the Clippers the other night without Giannis, right? Behind Dame Lillard. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
yeah,
they're obviously a threat, but there are trust issues on the bench with Doc Rivers, even though he has won a championship in his career. We've talked ad nauseum about Doc Rivers, especially if they get up 3-1. Sorry, that might have been a low blow, though not as bad as second row Joe.
No, that's lower.
I mentioned the Sixers. Cavs are young and haven't been there, done that yet. So I guess it comes back to Boston. Like, is this a big enough issue to cost them against any of the other teams in the Eastern Conference? Or is it once they face the Nuggets in the finals?
Mike, I trust them driving around the neighborhood. I trust them driving around the city. When you cross state lines, when you out of my view, okay?
Then it becomes,
when you on the other side of the country.
Then it becomes a federal offense, just so you know.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
You cross the state lines.
Right, yeah. Like, will you do the right thing? And I'm talking about the West, because I think they got the East. I think they got the East on lock. But
yeah.
When you take on Denver, we're going to see Denver. We're going to see them tomorrow. They play them, and that's a great, great matchup. But how are you going to do against Denver? How are you going to do against the Iron of the West, whether it's Minnesota or Oklahoma City or the Clippers or who knows? Like somebody surprises Phoenix and gets to the NBA Finals. How are you going to do when the stakes are highest? Because that's really what the Celtics are about. They've won more. I told you. Last week, they won as many games as the Warriors the last 5 years. So, they ain't got a championship to show for it. But regular season, they won a bunch of games, but they haven't won a championship. And they really are judged by, are you championship material? Do you have championship medal? And right now, the answer is no. Answer is no. And it could be yes in June, but right now, we haven't seen it. So, let's see it.
Okay. Fourth quarter of the season, man. It should be fun. It's a fun show. Speaking of stats, I've been told that we spend more time per Russ topic, Wilson or Westbrook, than any other topic in this show's history. So that's the stats show.
Let me give a shout out before we go. Real quick, shout out Mike Smith for this sweatshirt, because you know what, man? Seeing you wear this sweatshirt really helped me. Like, you, like, what your faith has sharpened my faith. And that's why I put this shirt on. Your faith has sharpened my faith. And you don't, you have no idea. We'll do it another time, another show. Mm. I will be transparent and vulnerable, and I'll tell you all
Maybe
the
I
things.
Maybe I will, too.
that have been on my mind. And then I see you wearing this sweatshirt. I say, I need that. And you sent it to me.
Is this the first gift
I've gotten from Michael Smith in 10 years.
Is that right?
No.
Is that right?
It's not. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. No, it's good. No.
I mean, it might be.
I'm kidding. No, it's not.
Gifts are my love language, exactly. No, thank you for that. Is there a phone conversation needed after this? Or we're going to save it? We'll save it for another day?
We'll save it.
Okay.
We'll save it.
Okay. All right. In the meantime, hey, Sleeper, download the app. Engage. It's almost time for the startup draft, just so you know. I need you to do your homework.
I'm in.
I need you to do your
homework.
Ready. Okay?
I'm ready. I'm drafting Russ with my first round pick. Now take that.
Hey, you know what? If you do that, can you trade me your 2025 first? Because I want you working for me. I want you working for me if you do that.
We used to say that? Oh, he works for me.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
He's working for me now.
Yeah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.